let me explain sort of a map where I want to go, Yirtzeh Hashem, this year, in terms of the Shiurim. There are three parts to the Rambam and Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. Unless we finish what I would like to finish, we're going to leave out the first part, which is basically the Gemaras in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemaras in the first parak in Sanhedrin that deal with the process of Kiddush HaChodesh al-Pi Yeriyah and Ibur Hashanah. Prakim 6 through 10 of the Rambam and Kiddush HaChodesh is what we're going to start with, which deals with the calendar as we do it. One brief note, I think it's from Perek Hay in the Rambam Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, is that when you have a Beis Din of Smuchim, you are supposed to do the Kiddush HaChodesh al pi Hara'iyah. When you have a Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael, but you don't have Smuchim, then you do it al pi Cheshbon. The Cheshbon, which we calculate. Prakim Hay, Vav through Yud, is the Cheshbon of our calendar, really Vav through Ches, and then Tesed Yud is about Tkufa Sachama, we're going to do that as well, which deal with our Cheshbon. And that's actually very straightforward. It looks daunting, but it's actually quite simple. The last nine Prakim of the Rambam is really, for me, what the challenge is going to be. And that's where the Rambam presents the true astronomy. So hopefully we'll make it to the end of that standing. If somehow we make it to the end of that standing, and then we have more time people would like, there are some very interesting things in the first five Prakim of Kiddush HaChodesh, but there's probably been a lot written on that. This is stuff that scares most people away. So I wanted to start by reading a few passages from the Rambam, from Perek Aleph and Perek Yud Aleph, to sort of set the table. And then today, I don't want to go into the Rambam, I want to actually just start, and hopefully we finish today, but it might take one more shiur, which will regularly is going to be on Mondays, not on Wednesdays. I would like to sort of show you the shorthand, how you can figure out our particular calendar. I doubt any of you use a Birnbaum Machzor for Rosh Hashanah. I don't know how many of you have seen a Birnbaum Machzor for Rosh Hashanah, but when I was a kid, there was no such thing as an art scroll or a Rina Yisrael Machzor or a Karain Sachs Machzor, whatever it is. So the standard Machzor, at least in the shul that I grew up in and most of the shuls that I've seen, was the Birnbaum Machzor. And in the back of the Birnbaum Machzor, you know that especially when you're a kid, maybe it's true for the adults also, when you get bored during Chazar Sashatz and Yom Narayim, you have to find something to do. So the first thing you all know that you do is you count pages. And you got to count pages to know, you know, how far we're moving along in progress. But eventually you run out of the counting pages, you have to find other things. So you go to the back of the Birnbaum Machzor and you see, and you can tell when that particular Machzor was printed for a number of years, what date is Rosh Hashanah and day of the week and what day is Yom Kippur for a whole bunch of years. So, of course, as a child, I suspect I was frightened. What would happen when my Birnbaum Machzor ran out? Would the calendar come to an end? And the answer is no. But so today, you want to have a calendar, so you go to Hebcal or something like that. You download it to your smartphone. Very nice. How do they know? And the answer is because there's a way to calculate exactly to know exactly when the year is going to fall out, what day of the week, what type of year is it going to be, and so on and so forth. I will at some point show you an Excel spreadsheet, will do exactly that. But today I want to just, after we're reading a few passages from the Rambam, I would like to actually show you the chart in the Torah and explain to you how to use that, and then you can be the wizard of the calendar when nobody else knows, and I'll tell you exactly when it's going to be. As a general rule, my plan, not today because I'm introducing material, and if it takes today and the next time, I want to just give you sort of the basic tools if you got nothing else. From this, in order to determine the calendar, I'm generally going to plan to read the Rambam Keseder. And that's going to start with, you know, once we're finished with introductory material, we will start with Perek Vav. Okay, but right now the Rambam writes, so why am I interested in doing the last nine prakim? After all, the Rambam's astronomy, just a basic, very, very crude historical overview of astronomy. In the rabbinic period, there was still a debate. There were lots of debates in astronomy. From the Gemara, we know they debated where the sun went at night. But there was also a debate amongst the Greeks, which I don't think makes its appearance in Chazal, whether the heliocentric or the geocentric theory. It happens to be that in that period, for the most part, the geocentric theory, the Earth at the center, dominated. And the system of astronomy, to the best of my understanding, that sort of dominated for over a millennium from the beginning of the Common Era was that of Ptolemy, who was the great Greek astronomer. His theory of the geocentric theory is the one that the Rambam is working with. Obviously, lots of people were working on that over the centuries. Understand that from a certain vantage point, if you're dealing with the sun, the moon, and the stars, it doesn't really make a difference whether you subscribe to the geocentric or the heliocentric theory. The part that really pushed people to realize, to come to the heliocentric theory, are what are called the kochavim in Chazal. Now, the kochavim are actually I don't want to use the term kochav, but I should say the mazalos. How many mazalos are there?
12.
No, there are 7. The mazalos were the 7 large visible luminaries that appeared to sort of move against the backdrop of the stars. The sun, the moon, and the 5 closest planets to Earth. When we talk about Yesh Mazal, Ein Mazal Yisrael, that's talking about those 7 possibilities. That's why there's 7 days of the week. The English names come from the Latin, which are all named after one of those bodies. Sunday, Monday, and so on and so forth. Yes.
Are those called the Shiva Kochvei Leches?
Yes. Okay. Yes, because they move, I believe so, because they move against sort of the backdrop. Part of the problem what we're dealing with, as an aside, make sure I come back to the history of astronomy for just 2 minutes. What do the stars do at night? Well, the answer is most of you probably don't know. Because you look outside and you're lucky if you can see 6 stars. Why? Because there's so much light pollution. But if you go up to the mountains on a clear night and you lie down and you let your eyes adjust, you understand that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu, Ko Yezarecha, he wasn't cursing him. Right? Right? He says, can you count the stars? Ko Yezarecha, right? Oh, what do you mean I'll have 8 descendants? So the point is that it's a totally different world. And what actually happens at night with the stars is there's a pole around which the stars that you see in that rotate. For us, it's called the polar star. It's in the Big Dipper in the northern hemisphere. It depends where you are. That's a very crucial point. So anyway, so they would see the stars rise and set at night, right? So they had a sense of the map of the stars, and at night you could see everything but the sun, and the motion of the planets and the moon. Part of its motion was against that backdrop. The problem is that when you set the Earth at the center of the universe, the planets don't go in a circular motion exactly. They move and then they go behave funny. They wander, which is what the term planet means. So Copernicus, to my understanding, so the Rambam is still working with Ptolemaic astronomy. Copernicus is the one who sort of marks, he was a Polish monk, who was the first one to really publish and to push the heliocentric theory of the universe. And what the 2 other famous figures that you should be aware of, there are more than 2 other famous figures, Copernicus, that someone asked me earlier, what did Copernicus do? He was the one who figured out that the Earth and the planets didn't move in a circular motion, but in an elliptical motion. Newton was the one who figured out why. He was the one who figured out gravity. Anyway, so we shy away from the last 9 prakas of the Rambam because they're hard and because they're not our astronomy. And the truth is they're actually, the text is fairly easy because a lot of it is just basic arithmetic, how you add based upon degrees and so on and so forth. So, but we will, B'ezras Hashem, get to that and we will go through it. Hopefully by that point, I will have mastered the astronomy sufficiently that we can also sort of make sense of what it means of the ancient sort of looking at the world. I will mention one of my favorite observations in this context. Today, we distinguish between astronomy and astrology, and we usually call the Itztagnine Farah or his astrologers, but once upon a time, the 2 disciplines were not separate. In fact, Kepler's job, one of his primary jobs when he earned his Parnassa, was providing the astrological forecast. He did not subscribe to it so much. He had a complicated theology as a Christian of how much he believed in predeterminism and the stars, but astronomy and astrology were not necessarily 2 completely separate disciplines. The Rambam will use the term itztagninim for astronomers. The comment I want to make is the following. You know that Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Egyptians, Kachatzos ha'layla ani yotzei b'tzoch Mitzrayim. But you know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to go through Mitzrayim for Malkes Bechoros, it was vayihi b'chatzi ha'layla. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu say Kachatzos ha'layla? So Rashi first quotes a grammatical pshat, and then he quotes a medrash that said that Moshe was afraid that the itztagninim paro would make a mistake, and they would say that Moshe Rabbeinu is a badai, because it didn't happen exactly at midnight. It's kind of a funny medrash, because it's sort of like, all the firstborn are being slaughtered supernaturally. Ah, Moshe Rabbeinu was only 12:01. Okay, but fine. That's what the medrash says. Why the itztagninim paro? Why the itztagninim paro? So the answer is the only way you can tell time at night, if you don't have clocks, and remember, clocks are fairly recent, generally speaking, are a product of the last several hundred years. They had sand times before, but not the same thing. The only way you know when Chatzos HaLaila is by observing the stars that rise when night begins. When they're directly overhead, you know that that's the midpoint of night. That's why it's Dagninim would have known when Chatzos HaLaila was. Okay, so let's begin with the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Kiddush HaChodesh, based in Halacha Vav, based in Mechashvim Lechashvonos, Kiderach Shemechashvin, it's Dagninim. Sheyodin Mikomos HaKochavim Umahalacham. Here the Rambam, I believe, means Kochavim means planets. The Beis Din sits and makes the astronomical calculations. They know where the planets are and their path. V'chokrim umidaktikim, and they carefully calculate, and I suspect he refers to, they analyze and calculate. He's talking about arithmetic. Ad sheyedu im efshar sheyeroah hayareach bismano shehu lom shloshim o e efshar. Based on the first thing they do, the Rambam's going to say there are three components to Kiddush HaChodesh. Component number one is before anything happens, the Beis Din knows in advance whether it's possible for the moon to be visible on the night of the 30th. Im yadu efshar sheyeroah, yoshvinu mitzapin le'edim kol hayom kulo sheyom shloshim. Then they sit in session waiting for Edim to show up, if it's possible the moon could be visible. And then he says, and so on and so forth, if Eidim come and it works out, and Bo Eidim udrashim achakarim kalachav and nemnu devren, mikan shinoso. V'im lo nirev al Bo Eidim, mashlim and shloshim v'yach chodesh me'ubar. But if not, they make it a 30-day month. But v'im yadu b'cheshbon, she'i efshar she'yirah. If they know that it's impossible that the moon can be visible, ein yoshim shloshim, v'im etzap and Eidim. They don't sit and wait for Eidim to come. V'im Bo Eidim, yodea b'vadai, or yivada b'vadai, either shehem eide sheker, either they're false witnesses. They thought they saw a moon, but they didn't actually see a moon. Okay. Now the Rambam writes about the process of the Chishuv.
In that yes. Case, it would also be a 30-day month?
If what? It would also be a 30, correct. Whether Edom don't show up, or if it's impossible for the moon to be seen, it's a 30-day month. Mitzvah halachazai, mitzvah asei min haTorah, al Beis Din, sheyichashvu v'yedu im yera hayareach o lo yera. There are three parts to the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. There's a mitzvah number one, that Beis Din has to make the calculations in advance to know whether it's possible for the moon to be visible or not. Two, v'sheyidrishu es ha'edim ad sheyikadshu es ha'chodesh. They then have to investigate the edim properly until they determine whether or not they should be their edus is valid. And three, v'yishlechu v'yodiyu es sh'ar ha'om be'eze yom hu rosh chodesh k'dei sh'yedu be'eze yom hem ha'modos. There's a mitzvah of being mefarsem when rosh chodesh is and when the mo'ados will be. Elsewhere the Rambam writes, based upon the Gemara, that you machalo Shabbos for the Edim, you're not machalo Shabbos to publicize the chodesh. What is the makor? The Rambam says, shenemar asher tikru osam mikra'ei kodesh v'nemar v'shamarta sachaka hazos l'mo'ado. The way I understand these two psukim and the Rambam is quoting is that the first two components, the mitzvah chishuv and bedikas ha'edim, which are necessary for being koveah the chodesh, that's asher tikru osam mikra'i kodesh. That is what determines when Rosh Chodesh will be, and hence the mawadim. V'nemar v'shamarta sachuka zos l'mawada, that is probably the pirsum. Shmiras ha'mitzvos, that is being mefarsim, the Chodesh. I think Chazal's comment about the Makor that Yimachal Shabbos for making Rosh Chodesh but not for being Mefarsim is Eile Moadei Hashem Mikra'ei Kodesh Asher Tikru'u Osam B'Moadam. Whenever it says B'Moadam B'Moado, it means even on Shabbos Yimachal Shabbos I'll share Tikru'u Osam I'll Kri Osam at Yimachal Shabbos but not on being Modiah to the people. Okay, so there is a mitzvah of Chishuv HaChodesh for the Rambam. Interestingly enough, the Hagos Maimonides, and this is a later edition, because I believe it's a later edition, because he quotes the Torah at the end, and the Hagos Maimonides was a generation before the Torah. Hagos Maimonides was a Talmud of the Maharami Wittenberg, like the Rush. The Torah was the Rush's son. Smag in the Asei Memvav counts a mitzvah miuchedes le-Beis Din, and then an additional mitzvah, separate mitzvah, l'chashev tkufos u'molados. Mikra d'shmartem v'asisem ki yichach v'aschem uvin aschem le'nei ha'amim. That's the Gemara, I believe, in Shabbos Ayin Hei. ואמרו חכמים בפרק הגדול, איזהו חכמה ובינה של עיני עמים, זוהי חישת תקופוס המולדוס עין שם. בכל עניין חישת תקופוס המולדוס, תמסה בתור ערכיים סימן תוך הזין תוך חפחס. Now the truth is, that's not chishuv hamazalos. That's the molados and the tkuvos. That's the short calculation in the Torah. But now let's take a look at the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph. Lefi she'amarnu b'halachos elu she'beisdin ha'yim ha'chashvin b'dikduk. Now, just a comment also. You guys are all, we are all educated in arithmetic. When you watch the Rambam present the arithmetic, which is, the arithmetic he presents is carrying in addition and borrowing and subtraction, you look at this and say, of course. But that's because you're all math literate. The Rambam was also math literate, but the fact that the Rambam was math literate was a much bigger chiddush than that we are math literate. And most people in the Rambam's time were not math literate, so he has to explain how when you're adding degrees and parts of degrees, how you have to do carrying, when you're subtracting, how you have to do borrowing. So when the Rambam talks about mechashvin medikduk, which really means to make arithmetic, not mathematical, arithmetic calculations, for us, we plug it into a calculator and it's simple, even if we didn't have a calculator. You know, Tinoko Shobes Rabban, they almost all of them know how to do it. But it was a much bigger chiddush once upon a time to be able to do this kind of arithmetic. So Hayim Mechashvin Bidiktuk, Vyodim im Yeraya Hayareha Holo Yeraha. Yodanu, since we said that there's a Beis Din had to do that, we know, the Rambam says, Shekomi Sherucho Nechona. We know that anybody whose spirit is straight and his heart desires the words of wisdom and to understand the sodos, in other words, if you have a curious mind, the Rambam says, and a proper spirit, of course you want to learn how to calculate exactly what to know exactly what Beis Din is doing. V'darkei ha'cheshbon halacha beis yesh b'hem machlokos gedolos bein chachmei ha'goyim ha'kadmonim shechakru al'cheshbon ha'tekufos v'ha'gimatrios. The Rambam says that the ways of calculation where there are great debates between the ancient Gentile sages who investigated very carefully tekufos and gimatrios. Gimatrios is probably math. V'anoshim chachomim gedolim, great wise men, nishtabshu b'hem. They made mistakes. Vinis almu mehen dvarim, and some things were concealed from them. And v'nodu lahem sfeikos. V'yesh mi shemedakdek harbe. V'lo paga b'derech hanachona b'cheshvan m'yas ereach. There are those who were very careful and still never got it straight in calculating when the moon would appear. Elat tzalal b'mayim adirim. He fished in deep waters. V'hel lo cheres b'yado. And he brought up a shard. Right? In other words, we say dalach aspa. He pulled up a pottery shard. The Rambam says, and here I want to preface one thing. Kepler was a brilliant astronomer, but he had a partner, someone who predated him. I'm not sure I know how to pronounce his name. It's not clear. He was a famous Danish astronomer, Tycho Brahe, whatever you pronounce it. Spelled B-R-A-H-E with an umlaut on top of one of those letters. He was a Danish astronomer from Danish nobility who eventually left Denmark. And his great contribution was his observatory and his observations. You have to appreciate how brilliant the Greeks were and the astronomers over the ages, that they figured this all out by precise measurement. One of the things that we will see later in the year, B'ezras Hashem, is the Rambam. To me, this was I got such enjoyment from watching this. The Rambam, in discussing the Mahalach HaShemesh HaMiti, the true path of the sun, not the approximate path, but the true path, which is what Beis Din has to really know. So he gives you a basic formulas, and then we have to make corrections. And the Rambam identifies, and he talks about where the sun is in the zodiac, how many degrees it is, from 0 to 180, and then you can, once you know that, you figure out 180 to 360. And the Rambam points out that when you're figuring out certain things about the sun, you have to make corrections to the approximate number in order to get the true number. And the Rambam says that if you're at 0 degrees, no correction. And if you're at 10 degrees, you have to add 20. And if you're at 20 degrees, you have to add 40. And I'm looking at that and say, okay, I can guess at 30 degrees, you have to add 60. But no, the number starts to not decline, but you don't add as much. And eventually, you get to 90, and the number stops climbing. And then it starts to decline until eventually, when you get to 180, it goes back to zero. And I got a little bit suspicious here, so I went to Excel. I just lined up the numbers. And then I took the very same numbers, 10, 20, 30, through 180, and I put another column of a sine of those angles. And then I had Excel graph it, and guess what? The graph was identical. In other words, with the Rambam, he doesn't know necessarily the mathematical concept of sine, but the Greeks figured it out by precise observations, which is just astounding. I still don't understand how you can measure with such precision a distance away. I looked at that and I just like, my hair stands up. Unbelievable. The Rambam has presented effectively a very crude sine table here. Yes?
So, I'm sorry, how do you, what calculation are they doing? Like the angle of the sun to the earth?
It's where the sun is in the zodiac. We will eventually, yes. In other words, because the sun, remember, when you look
How do you know that? Because you don't see the sun at night and you only see the zodiac at night.
What's that? Ah, but you know where the sun sets and where it rises in the zodiac. When the sun sets, you see, it went in and you see what stars are there where the sun was just. And when it rises in the morning, right? So we'll eventually get, that's why you have to, that's why even I don't fully understand yet. But we'll have to understand what the world looks like to a person, what the universe looks like to a person standing on Earth, regardless of heliocentric, geocentric. So the Rambam writes as follows, Ulefi orech hayamim, and according to the great length of time, v'rov habedikos v'hachakiros, they needed a long time in history because it took a long time to accumulate precise measurements. Nodu lemitzas hachachamim darkei cheshbon zeh. Some chachamim figured out the proper ways of this cheshbon. Ve'od yeshlanu be'ikarim elu kabalos mipiach hachamim v'rayu shelo nechtu b'sfarim hayadum l'kol. We also have many sort of traditions. It doesn't mean from Chazal. I think here it means sort of mathematical and astronomical tradition and proofs that weren't written in the Sfarim, which are known by everybody. Because of this, I think it proper the Rambam wants to now explain to you how we engage in the mitzvah of Chishuv HaChodesh. Don't say, who needs to do this? Who needs to study the last nine prakim? Because it's not lemaisa. She'elu hadrachim drachim rechokim v'amukim heim. They are deep. V'husod ha'ibor shayu achachamim hagedolim yodim oso. The great sages knew this. Ve'ena mosro oso l'chol adam ela l'smuchim nevonim. They would give this over to people here, and I assume here the Rambam is not talking about preserving it because it's the magical secrets of the universe, but rather you need very intelligent people who can sort of invest themselves in order to properly understand the sod ha'ibor. The cheshbon that is used to calculate when there's no beisdin of smuchim. To explain how you actually make our calendar, it takes 3 or 4 days for tinoko shabbos rabban. And you read the Rambam, you think the Rambam was a genius and that's why he thinks that way, but it's actually true. It's not so complicated. And that's where I now want to turn my attention to. God, Be'ezras Hashem, we will spend a while doing that, and then we will, God willing, come back and begin the Rambam where he left off here in Perek Yud Aleph, so we can enter the Sod HaIbur. So now, yes?
Can you just explain the difference between Sod HaIbur and our calculations of the calendar, just briefly?
So Sod HaIbur is calculating exactly where the moon and the sun are, and the possibility of whether or not the moon could appear. Based and needed to do, in order to know whether the moon can appear or not, you must make precise astronomical calculations. You can't rely upon approximate ones, because the basin has to know whether even to wait for the Adam or not. What we do, as you may know, very often in our calendar, the new moon, we push off things, right? For example, when Rosh Hashanah when the Molad of Tishrei would come out on a Sunday or on a Wednesday or a Friday, we push off Rosh Hashanah to the next day. Well, we have all sorts of rules that we are concerned about where we adjust things within a day or two or maybe three tops. And therefore, the moon isn't always perfectly in sync with when we make Rosh Chodesh. Because our calculation is, A, has certain approximate aspects, number one, and number two, we also have sort of other considerations in the calendar. We're going to have to, I'm glossing over certain things in that, but that's the way most understand it. So, now let's turn our attention to how do you figure out the calendar? You want to write a Hebe-Cal program. Okay, so I want to cut to the chase first. I want to give you a little bit of the maskana before we go back to understand how the Luchos HaIbur are generated. Now, a word of caution. Do any of you know where the Luchos HaIbur are from? If you read the title of the file, you'll know where it's from. It's from the Torah. The Torah in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, which would be at the end of the fourth Chelek Mishneh Berurah, but in most Torahim, there are three volumes to Orach Chaim. It's at the end of the second volume. You will see in the old Turim, not the new fancy Turim, the Mahon, you will see a chart that looks like this. For our purposes, this is enough to explain to you how to use the chart, except for there are serious errors in this chart. The printers apparently decided to compress the chart to save space, and therefore the chart sometimes has errors. But if you go to the fancy tour, which the Beis Medrash has and the library has, and if you want, I have, but it's hard to see on the projector. I actually have sort of a Xerox of this sort of two-page spread with the corrected chart. You can then figure out any year exactly when Rosh Hashanah comes out that year and what is the constellation of the year. So I'm going to teach you on this chart, even though there are some errors, for the years that we are currently looking at, there are no problems. So I'm going to tell you first, start with the simplest observation. If you go on this chart and you go right here where I put the hand, I don't know if you can read those letters. You know what those? Can you read those letters? What do those say? Beishin. Piece of information, general rule. The Greeks and Chazal knew this. If you want to make the solar and lunar calendars come into almost exact conjunction, over the course of 19 solar years, and remember, there is no such thing as a lunar year. That's an artificial creation. There's no such thing as a solar month, and there's no such thing as a lunar year, astronomically speaking. In other words, there is such a concept. Everybody has these concepts. But a lunar month is the time it takes the moon to come back from conjunction between the Earth and the Sun to come back to the same place. It's actually not one full cycle around the Earth. It's actually more than that. In the same sense, the Earth going around the Sun to get back to the same place, that is called a solar year. Just for the record, how many times does the Earth rotate approximately in the course of coming back to the same point? Less than 365. It's either about one more or one less. It depends. Yeah. I'm not going to explain to you why now. It's the difference between a regular year and a sidereal year. It has to do with whether you're looking against the sun or you're looking against the stars. I'm not going to explain why now. But bottom line is, astronomically, there's such a thing as a solar year and such a thing as a lunar month. But we know we have lunar years, and we want to make lunar years come in conjunction with the solar years. We want to do it because we have Chodesh Aviv. So the way you can get to very, very close is by adding 7 lunar months extra, what we call leap months. We call it Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni, whichever one you want to view it as. We add a leap month in 7 times every 19 years. We add it along a fixed pattern. And that fixed pattern is something known as Guach Adzat. Gimel Vav Ches, Aleph Dalet Zayin Pes. You don't need to remember it. But if you look down this chart, this is a 19-year cycle. And it tells you next to that whether that year is Pshuta Pei or Meuberes. Is it a regular year or a leap year? And you can see that the leap years, the Mu'ubaros, are Gimel, Vav, Ches, Yud Aleph, that's Adzat, Yud Dalid, Yud Zayin, and Yud Tes. And then it keeps cycling over and over. Okay? Now, in order to know now exactly what your calendar is this year, you just need to know which box in the Torah to look, and you will have all the information. So I'm going to give you the following information. I'll explain to you how I can figure it out from this chart. And then, once you learn how to figure out what year you're in, you know exactly what the year is going to be. We happen to be starting. We are right now in this year. You see where the hand is? The second column, what?
5775.
5775 is the year what the hand is covering right now. Second from the left, second from the bottom. I don't know if you can read those letters, but can you read those letters? Hey Chaf. Hey Chaf. That means the following. It means Rosh Hashanah of this year, which is last year, last September, was on Thursday. And was it a leap year or not a leap year? Well, all you need to know is look at which year the 19 you're in. And what year are we in? What, right now, just about to end? 18, which is a Pshuta. Was it last year a leap year? No. And the last piece of information you need to know is once you know whether it's a leap year or not, there's only one variable in the months of the year. The rule is always 30-29, with one possible exception. Tishrei is supposed to be 30. It is, always. Mar Cheshvan, which is the month after that, normally would be 29. Kislev would normally be 30. Teves would normally be 29, except we can vary the year by either adding a day to Mar Cheshvan or subtracting a day from Kislev. If we, a regular year where we keep the 29-30 sequence, Mar Cheshvan 29, Kislev 30, is called a Kisidron year, Kaf. A year when we add an extra day to Mar Cheshvan is called a Shlema year, Shlemos year. And a year when we take a day away from Kislev is called a Chaser year. Chaser is Ches, Kaf is Kisidron, and Shin is for Shlema. What was this past year? This I would expect you to remember. Mar Cheshvan was 29 and Kislev was 30. It was a Kisidron year. Now, once you have these three pieces of information, you can make up your own calendar. It's very simple. What is this coming year going to be, guys? Look at the bottom. Beis Shin. It's going to be leap or non-leap year. We're in year 19, it's a leap year. Rosh Hashanah is in a Monday, which amazingly it is. And it's going to be a Shlema year. Now, just an arithmetical point, which I'll expand on next time. We're not going to finish this today. This year, a leap year, when it's a Shlema, is the only year in the Hebrew calendar that has an exact number of weeks, meaning a year that's divisible by seven perfectly. There are 385 days in a year that's a leap year, and it's Shlema. And that means, if you know that that's true for this year, what day does Rosh Hashanah have to be on next year in 2016? Must be on a Monday. The Chagim fall out the same days. And lo and behold, when you go to the top of the chart, which will be the next year, you go down, and when you get to the bottom, you start in the next column. What is next year going to be, the Rosh Hashanah 2016? It's going to be Beis on a Monday. It's, since it's Aleph, it's not going to be a leap year. And Mar Cheshvan and Kislev in 2016 in the fall are going to both be 29 days because it's going to be a Chaser year. And you can follow this chart year after year after year. Yes. Ben?
How do you know if it, when it's Chaser, when it's Kisidron, when it's...
We'll get to that. I don't want to explain why. I want to explain how you know.
I'm making the chart right now. I'm using the chart.
I want you to use the chart. At very least, you can torture people at the Shabbos table with it if you want. Okay? It's always worth it for that.
Benjamin? What purpose does the thing of Kislev and Cheshvan serve?
We'll deal with that. Right now, I just want the what. Jonathan?
Can you run through how you find it one more time?
How do I find which year we're in? I haven't explained it yet. The last thing I want to explain now, and we'll finish with this for now. How do I know what year we're in? So here, we have two choices. You can either all turn your heads sideways, or if there's any chance, I can't rotate with this. Gewalt. There is a way. Hold on. There's a way to do this on the computer with the control shift arrow. Because it doesn't work on this. It's supposed to work. You want to torture people. Do that to their computer. They won't know what happened.
Control-Alt-Arrow?
It's not working.
No,
it's not working. Okay. All right, anyway. So you have to crane your head a little bit. So the way this chart... Firstly, this entire table... How many boxes are there in this table? The answer is 247. There are 13 machzor. A machzor is a 19-year cycle. There are 13 machzorim of 19. The way this table presents it, and here it's not fully accurate, is that every 247 years, the calendar will repeat perfectly. This year, I believe, begins in the year 1294, was when this started, when this chart started. Okay? The way you work is the following. You have to figure out the first year of the Machzor that you're in. Well, let's take a look in the chart. If you go down the line, you will find, you see where the hand is? Shin Dalet. It's the 304th Machzor since Briyas HaOlam. Namely, 304 times 19. 303 times 19, it's the next year. Right? 303 complete 19-year cycle since Briyas HaOlam, and now it's the first year of the new cycle. And when was that, by the way? That's an easy math for you. 300 times 19 is 5,700. 3 times 19 is 57. 57 was the last year of the previous Machzor. And what year are we in? Add 19. We're in 5776, 19 years later. Okay, now, the last Machzor began on Shin Dalet, was the 300th Machzor, is found right here in this box. All you need to do is find the box of the Machzor that you're in, and that's the column that you're in for the Machzor. The year 5757, you know which box it is in this chart? The top one. 57, 58, the next. 57, 59, the next. We are now in 57, 55. This bottom one is going to be 57, 56. What is next year? 57, 76, excuse me. What is next year? 57, 76. Well, the year after that will be 57, 77, which in Hebrew names is Tavshin Ayin Zayin. Look over here. Look down here. Go back to the top of the neck. Look, go down one machzor to machzor Shin Hei, okay, which is the next 19-year cycle. And what does it say? Hei, Tav, Shin, Ayin, Zayin. So you know that in 2016, which Tav, Shin, Ayin, Zayin begins in, you start down in the last column. What's going to happen in the year 2035? Well, 2034, I think, if I've done my math right, is going to be the last box on this chart. What are we going to do in the year 2035? We're now going to go up to the final of the four charts here. Now, there are four cycles of 247, of 13 times 19. We're about to start the last one of the third 247-year cycle. And then in 2035, which, Mitzvah Hashem, we should all be well and healthy, we're going to start in Shin Vav, and we're going to start 19-year cycle. So 2035 is going to be the first box on the chart. So all you need to do, guys, is figure out, based upon the year we're in, look in this bottom part of these four 247-year cycles. All you need to do is figure out which year you're in, and then go up onto the 19-year cycle here, and then just look at the letters. Look at whether it's what number year it is. Is it Guah Hazad or is it not? Is it Pshuta Muberes? And you'll know when Rosh Hashanah is, the first letter, and whether Mar Cheshvan and Kislev are Kisidron, Shleiman, or Chaser. Okay? It's actually fairly straightforward. I'm going to leave you by annoying you with the following. There's a problem with the chart. Next week I will try to show you, I may have to bring in as a Xerox, the corrected chart, but it's used the same way. All that happens is that here you'll notice that in this chart, that there are four different years, four different machzorim that all have the same 19-year cycle, right? 1295 plus 247 plus 247 plus 247 all begin the same 19-year cycle. It's not always the case. There are sometimes very minor variations. There is a corrected version of the tour chart which you use the exact same way. It just has to add in a few columns. If you used an Excel spreadsheet and generated the formula, you would get the corrected version of the tour chart. But for the moment, you could even use this for the next few years. I don't think there are any errors. And you can look at this and you'll know exactly every single year in the Hebrew calendar of your life, of 100 years ago, of 200 years ago, of 200 years from now, you will know exactly what day of the year Rosh Hashanah is on, what Mar Cheshvan and Kislev have, and whether or not it's a leap year or not. When it's a leap year, by the way, Adar Sheni is always 29 days, and the last Adar is always 29, and in a leap year we stick in a 30-day Adar, we make that Adar Rishon. Any questions? I'll actually put this on the recording. I'm going to post this, maybe a Google Doc would be, but everybody's still going to have to get the email from me.
Everybody
still going to have to get permission. So let me make the following request. I'm sorry? Okay, but people still have to know that it...
People have to send a link to each other.
Right, okay. So what I'm going to do is I'll make a Google Doc with a zip file with the four files. I haven't shown you all of them today. And this way anybody can access it. And we're going to have to find a good way to make it sort of publicly available, the source sheets that I'm putting up here. Okay. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Let's get this right. Stop.